Page 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave
me. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Glory be to God on high, and on earth His goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. We glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Who sits at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Spirit, are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all enemies of your word. And bestow on Christ Church Militant your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the Reformation Day is from the third chapter of 1 Samuel. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. The epistle is from the 14th chapter of Revelation. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. Our sermon text is from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two kinds of fear. There is a good and godly fear, and then there is an improper fear which needs to be removed. The improper fear is that of the devil. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." The devil's roaring are his lies and murderous threats. He desires to lead you into fear so that he can make you his slave. First, the devil seeks to convince you that God is a tyrant who needs to be feared. He says that God does not have your best interests in mind, but you need to fear that God may harm you, or in the very least, he would withhold good things from you. Satan told Adam and Eve, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and be like God, knowing good and evil." His first defense is to teach you to run away from God and disobey him. Satan tells you to disobey this selfish and jealous God. He only wants to enslave you. But then you will need to fear his wrath and punishment, because God punishes those who don't follow his rules. Satan leads you to disobey because of God's actions of enslavement. They need to be feared, and God doesn't want you to be free. Second, if you still feel the need, well, to continue to listen to God, then fine. Satan will spur you on to work and make yourself righteous by trying to keep his rules. But at the same time, Satan will stir up a fear that you have never pleased God. Work harder, and you might. Next, Satan waves before you suffering and death, waves these before your eyes. If you think that you may wish to trust Christ, well, then it is fear of death that will make you think twice. Oh, you can't love your neighbor and give away your stuff. You might need that stuff. God is not going to take care of you. You can't go to church. You might miss out on work or fun stuff to do. You might get behind and not have all that you need. You know, you only go around once. You better get all you can right now. In fact, if someone wrongs you, seek revenge. Go get it. Things will not work out in the end. So Satan says, furthermore, your sins. Your sins are terrible and great. You need to fear the punishment of hell. Oh, there is no such thing as a free lunch, right? Much less salvation. You are not saved. Just look at yourself. You are not holy. You need to get your own righteousness. That suffering that you are going through, well, that means that God hates you. No one has ever come back from the death. Be scared. Well, in response to all of these lies and threats, our merciful and loving God has not been silent. In fact, our Lord has left us a record which teaches us his saving truth. The Lord has even responded to these false satanic claims so that we might be saved and set free from them. Before I tell you our fall into sin, the Lord sought to warn us, to keep us from those disastrous consequences. He told Adam, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." But we did not listen. Now that sin has entered into the world and death through sin, our God still desires to be our refuge and strength. He has provided a solution. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, that is God himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Our loving God took upon himself our humanity that he might destroy the power of death. In the person of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our God paid the penalty which we deserved. Now, the devil claims that we ought to fear the power of death, which he imposed upon us through our fall into sin. But no, God says something different. Jesus released us from the fear of death. As for Satan's claim that our God simply wants to make us slaves, Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Through the forgiveness of sins given in our baptism, we have become adopted children of God, not slaves. Our God does not wish for our slavish works. No, he desires to change our hearts so that we might give him our love and thanksgiving in return. He does not desire to be our master, but to be our Father who art in heaven. The holy record of the prophets and apostles, the Old and the New Testament, seek to present us with this truth concerning the two contradictory claims of fear. Our Lord Jesus, he said in Luke 12:4-5, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." So the believer in Christ need not fear the devil. Christ has defeated death, and he has promised to give eternal life to all who believe in Christ. There is a resurrection from the dead. When Satan roars and threatens, we must call his bluff. Though Satan may kill our body, ultimately he can do us no harm. Our God has the power to cast us into hell, and that very God is on our side. Psalm 46 tells us, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." Yes, roar all you want, Satan, but I will not fear. When the priest Zechariah heard about the promise of the birth of the Savior, he confidently declared his Christian faith with the words of the Benedictus. "Jesus Christ," he said, "is the horn of salvation to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Jesus has freed us from the fear of our enemies, from the devil, from the temptation to sin, from the fear of death. We will not fear. Now, do we serve God? Well, yes, but without fear of punishment. We serve God in loving thanksgiving. Now, it was the fear of death that led Dr. Martin Luther to enter the monastery. Having visited his home, gone home for break in Mansfield, Luther was returning to Erfurt when a great storm came upon him. He was sure that in the midst of the lightning and the thunderbolts that he was going to die. So he cried out, "Saint Anne, Mother of Mary, save me. I promise to become a monk." Though Luther gave everything he had to try and remove the fear, the temptation to sin, the fear of death, he could not do it. The gospel message of the free forgiveness of sins was not being proclaimed at the time. It had been covered over with works righteousness. Even in the monastery, Luther remained in slavery to fear. But then, having been sent to Wittenberg to study the Word of God, to preach upon it, and to teach in the university, Luther discovered the righteousness which God requires is actually the righteousness of Christ, which God freely gives. Luther read St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It was that gospel message that was a thunderbolt from heaven which answered the first thunderbolt. Luther learned that there is a salvation promised for those who believe. This preaching of the gospel is God's power creating faith in our hearts. Jesus Christ's perfect suffering and death is the righteousness that they and we need in order to be saved. The salvation is being revealed in the Holy Scriptures. We are saved by grace through faith, as it is taught by Scripture alone. God is not against us. He is for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Everything finally made sense to Luther. Even the Old Testament was proclaiming the gospel message. When Jesus came into Jerusalem to suffer and die, the people used Zechariah the prophet's words of old, saying, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." The first thunderbolt made Luther determined to enter a monastery and to work for his salvation. Nevertheless, the second gospel thunderbolt made Luther bold to preach the gospel even in the face of death. The gospel changes hearts so that men professing faith in Christ boldly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, in today's Holy Gospel, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Well, Luther is one of those who clung to the gospel message and refused to be deterred. Though they excommunicated him, and though they threatened him with death, he had taken hold of salvation, and he would not allow it to be ripped from his hands. Luther was made fearless by the gospel message. Now, it may sound funny to our eyes, but this kind of bold action is described in the Holy Scriptures as godly fear. In other words, those who fear and love the gracious and merciful God of the Scriptures need not fear anything else. Those who have a godly fear, which is nothing other than faith in Jesus Christ, will be used by God to do marvelous things. Hebrews 11, verse 7 speaks of Noah, and you know what he did. It says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." Even our Savior is said to have godly fear so that he went to the cross for us. Hebrews 5:7 says that Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to God, who was able to save him from death, was heard because of his godly fear. Yes, Jesus cried out, and the Heavenly Father raised him from the dead. The reason that we have gathered this day is to give thanks. To give thanks for the blessings of the Reformation. We have been made bold through the restoration of the everlasting gospel, as today's epistle from Revelation 14 calls it. Like Luther, we have been released from the fear of death, the fear of sin, the fear of the devil. With godly fear, we can take our stand up against any threat. Hebrews 13:6 says it this way, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? We have taken our stand. We have taken hold of the gospel. We will hazard body and life for the sake of it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though an enemy should seek to turn us aside, we will hold to Christ's righteousness. Psalm 46 goes on to say this, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacle is the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. We will not give up the refreshing river of God's word and sacraments. We have learned of Christ's righteousness, and we have it through faith. It is through the preaching of forgiveness for those who believe that we will take our stand. The gospel message has driven out fear, that we might have a godly fear, a fear and love of God, who is our refuge and strength. Now, does that confident profession of faith sound like the church suffering violence and the violent taking it by force? Well, that's exactly what today's Holy Gospel is speaking of. But it is a kind of spiritual violence. That is, like Luther, we will not go back to a church that teaches slavery to the law or fear of punishment. The church has been restored to its former glory, which is the gospel proclamation of salvation. Stanza 3 of A Mighty Fortress, we'll sing as our communion hymn, says this, though devils all the world shall fill, all eager to devour us, we will tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him. That word, Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The offertory is on page 143. We stand.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me.
O eternal and most merciful God, we bless and praise you for all your benefits, and especially for those mercies of the Reformation which we commemorate this day. Praise be to you that you did send forth your only begotten Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins, and did institute the ministry of the Word to make known your saving health among all nations. Praise be to you especially this day that, when the gross darkness of Roman popery covered the earth, you did kindle afresh the light of your holy word, and through your chosen vessel, Martin Luther, did teach our fathers once more the everlasting gospel of salvation. Praise be to you that you have to this day preserved the goodly heritage, saved us from persecution, confusing creeds, and contemporary liturgies, defended churches and schools from the assaults of Satan, given strength and success to your word, and at all times provided faithful shepherds to feed your flock in the pleasant pastures of your word. Lord, in your mercy, we acknowledge and confess in sincere repentance that by our own manifold sins, ingratitude, indifference, and unbelief, we have indeed deserved that you would justly hide your face from us and visit us with a famine of your word. But we beseech you, O Lord, deal with us not after our sins, but according to your infinite compassion. As you have promised, let not the gates of hell prevail against your church. Preserve us from human traditions and the doctrines of men, from strong delusions that subvert the foundation of truth and mislead men upon false ways. Lord, in your mercy, grant unto us peace and good government, kindle in our President Donald, our Governor J.B., a love of that which is true and noble, that justice may be done, peace promoted, and mercy shown to all in need. Grant to your church throughout the world that, without restraint or hindrance, we may continually enjoy the blessings of thy pure word. Give zeal to all pastors in Christ, especially to those in the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese of North America and our Bishop James, that they would boldly preach the gospel and lead those entrusted to their care to do the same. Lord, in your mercy, preserve unto us and our children the pure and saving gospel and the right use of the holy sacraments to the end of days. Send us to this end at all times blameless teachers, able ministers of the New Testament, faithful stewards of your mysteries, and give them wisdom and boldness to proclaim your salvation to many unto life. Lord, in your mercy, let us not misuse the gospel unto false peace in a dead faith, but being kept by the light of truth, let us walk as the children of light. Let us be a city that is set on a hill to shine afar until the day of Christ's coming. Give us an increase of faith and of numbers. Restore all that are deceived by error and give free course and strength to your word, that it may become known among the nations of the earth. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, in your mercy, we ask, dear Lord, that you would be with Leanne's sister, Judy. She went into the hospital for knee surgery and ended up having 4 bypasses. We thank you for your graciousness in providing this, and we ask that you would continue to provide her healing. Lord, in your mercy, gird us with your power that we may fight a good fight and keep the faith until we shall obtain the crown of righteousness laid up for us in heaven. For your Son's sake, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who in the multitude of your saints did surround us with so great a cloud of witnesses, that we, rejoicing in their fellowship, may run with patience the race that is set before us, and together with them may receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the O Lord our God, in the name of whose only begotten Son, we have been called to be Christians and have been blessed with baptism for the remission of sins. Make us, we pray, ready to receive the most holy body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and to give thanks with grateful hearts to you, O Father, to your Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I'll receive the bread of heaven and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my soul shall be healed. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul unto life everlasting. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for me, preserve my body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through the preaching of your servants, the blessed reformers, has caused the light of the gospel to shine forth, grant, we beseech you, that knowing its saving power, we may faithfully guard and defend it against all enemies and joyfully proclaim it to the salvation of souls and the glory of your holy name. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.